So we're on part number four of a healthy marriage. And so just for those of you who have not been able to hear us, be with us the whole time, you can catch up on our app or the website. You can catch those messages. But here's the reason we're doing a series on marriage at church, because obviously everyone in the room isn't married, and some of you will never be. Most of us, however, have some kind of impact on our lives by the marriage relationship. And the reason we think it merits our discussion is twofold. Number one, on a very practical level, as a pastoral staff, the number one request we get for help is, help me in my marriage. How do I be healthy? How do I resolve problems? How do I be a healthy individual in this couple? And then the second reason we want to talk about marriage is because I personally believe biblically that the family unit is one of the basic building blocks of the kingdom of God on the earth. And so do you remember all the way back Adam and Eve? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and rule over it. And what does that mean to us today as a new covenant believer? How do we rule over the earth? Well, Jesus taught us in his prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And a very practical way that the kingdom begins to come on the earth is when God rules in our marriages, when God rules in our homes, when God rules in our relationships together. And so it is vitally important that we understand marriage and family and the biblical paradigm for how God wants us to live our lives together. So that's why we're taking 4 weeks and talking about marriage here at this church. And the other thing that's a corollary here is all the principles that we're talking about in this series apply to every relationship in your life. If you want to get along with people, you can apply the things that we are teaching in the last 4 weeks to your work relationships, to your extended family, to your friends, and all those things, they work. So let's do a quick review. Week number one, we said we must honor our differences. We had a great message that week that just basically said, hey, male and female, he created them, and we here at Harvest Christian Fellowship are gender defenders. We live in a culture that says, we don't know what kind of gender. I want to be a girl today, I want to be a boy tomorrow. Well, God determined who you are. And I'm not mad at anybody for being confused, but I want you to know there's truth in the Bible that teaches us who we are and how we are to relate. And everyone is equal in the sight of God, but men and women have different functions in the kingdom of God. And so that was the first week, and I don't need to re-preach that message. I would love to, however. Week number two, we said the 80-20 rule. Enjoy the 80, embrace the 20. Right, so every relationship you have, there's about 80%. You go, I love this. This is fun. But there's that 20% that you might have to learn to tolerate or adjust to. And we learned a lot that week about you probably aren't going to change those things. How about we stay focused on the positive? Week number three, my response is my responsibility. That's when it got real, real, real. Became no longer a theory, and it kind of got up in our business, didn't it? It's like we're going to have to stop pointing the finger at other people, pointing the finger at our spouse and saying, because you did this, I did this. No. My response is my responsibility. Now, today, we're going to round this out with stay on the path. Without periodic evaluation, you cannot stay on the path. Let's go right back to our text, Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then the last verse in that, Ephesians 5, verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Would you pray with me? God, we ask in the next few brief moments that you would teach us your word. God, beyond anything humanly possible, in the next few minutes, we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach your word to your people, and that we believe your word is powerful and effective. It said sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide between joints and marrow, to determine the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Lord, we ask that you would just lay us bare this morning and bring the power of your Spirit into our hearts to transform us, to heal us and to set us free and to put us on a great path for the purposes of your kingdom in our lives. In Jesus' name we said, and everybody who agreed said, amen. All right, guys, we're going to roll through this message pretty quickly. The overarching vision for a marriage is not for you to be happy. What? No, God wants you to be happy? Of course. He wants you to have a joyous journey. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. But the goal of a happy, healthy marriage is not your self-fulfillment. Although God wants you to be fulfilled. There is an overarching theme in the Bible. We see it in Ephesians 5, where Jesus is telling us through the Apostle Paul, this is a great mystery, but really I'm speaking about Christ and his church. Do you know the power of a healthy marriage is this? You can witness Christ to the world without saying a word. Because when your relationship with your spouse and your children that come as a result of that is full of God and full of light and full of hope, the world wants to see what's going on in that situation. And you become a witness for the kingdom of God just by the way you live your life in a healthy marriage, in a healthy family, as a healthy individual. There's a greater vision today than self-help. But we all need help, don't we? Come on, we all need help, don't we? If you're married, you need help or you're in denial. Because nobody knows how to do this perfectly, but we believe the Bible actually gives us principles and things that we can live by that can transform the way we see each other, the way we see ourselves, and the way we impact the world around us. So in Ephesians 5, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. The context to understand a healthy marriage is with Jesus Christ in the center of your life and all of your relationships. The foundation is in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Why? Because that's what's going to make this work? No, because you honor Jesus Christ, then it changes the way you treat each other. And honor is a two-way street. Lots of people want to talk about how you should honor those in authority and you should respect those who are in a position. And men love to quote, wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, yes, hallelujah. I mean, it's the most quoted verse in men's group all across America. But they forget, love your wife like you love your own body and give yourself up for her. I mean, come on. There's a great balance there. Hey, there's no woman in the world that I've ever met that wouldn't want to submit to someone who gives up their life for them. So men, listen to me. There's a pattern in Christ that says, yes, you should be respected as the head of your house, but you only receive what you've sown. I'll never forget. Years and years ago, in the first 10 years of our marriage, I was whining and complaining to God. I don't get any respect around here. And this is what he said to me. You know, you sow what you reap. I mean, you reap what you sow. Yeah, you reap what you sow. So from that day, I said, and he reminded me of this very verse right here, verse 21. Submit to one another. Because all I had believed as a young whippersnapper who thought I knew everything about marriage because I had read some book. I know all that's supposed to go on here. No, I didn't know anything. And God had to reorder my thoughts, say, hey, if you want to be honored, honor first. So I began to respect my wife. Honor is a two-way street. Everyone deserves equal respect. We all just have different functions. So being the head of the house is no more important than being the wife. Being the wife is no more important than being the husband. Being the child is no more important or less important than being the parent. We all have a function in a healthy family, and it's to bring glory to Jesus Christ and be a light to the world. So if we're going to do this, it's not a quick fix, guys. It's a path, not a quick fix. You know, we live in the microwave generation, right? I want it my way, right away. We drive up to a fast food place, and if they don't have our food out within 2 minutes, we are upset. We're going to be calling the manager. Something's wrong with your fast food place. They didn't get me my food on time. You had to wait an extra minute. Well, if that's the mentality we have going into marriage, we are in trubs. We're in trouble, guys. Trouble's coming. Don't you remember we read that in one of these passages of scripture in this series? If you are married, you will have trouble. Woohoo! Aren't we excited about being married now? But the alternative is lonely. Gonna have a little trouble, but listen to me. If you could put Christ in the center, if you could say, I'm on a path, I don't need an instantaneous fix, you change your trajectory, you change your expectation. You say, today, I need to set a direction, not get a quick fix. Direction, not intentions, determines your destination. You want a great marriage? Hey, listen, Julie loves to tell this, so I'll tell it for her. This summer, we've been married 23 years, and I'm so proud of that. She stuck with me. She says it's the best 13 years of her life. The first 10 were not her favorite. Now, I remember it all very fondly, personally. But the truth is, those first 10 were hard. And we had to learn some lessons, and we had to get on our face before God. We wound up in a professional counselor's office. And we had to decide what is more important, what's worth the investment of our money, what's worth the investment of our time. And we decided we wanted to have a healthy marriage. And I thank God that about 13 years ago, we got on a good path. Sometimes it's going to be harder to get on the right path than it was to drift. Sometimes it's going to take more energy to stay in the right lane than it is to go wherever the wind would take you. But today you can make a decision. I want to get on a path that says 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm going to have the kind of marriage I dreamed of, and we're going to live this life happily together. And on top of all that, we're going to be a witness to Christ for the world. Come on. Get a bigger vision than self-interest for your marriage. See, we all have good intentions in regard to marriage, but sometimes we end up in a place we didn't expect to. We didn't go there on purpose. But sometimes we've got to pause. Some of you in this room have been divorced, and I want you to know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is the safest, best place you could be in the kingdom of God. There's no condemnation. You've had to go through pain. You've had a lot of mistakes. We all have in different ways. I want to tell you today, you're in a great place. Today is about your future. Today is about what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't hold your past against you. He's holding up a truth from the scripture that says, this is how it could be. Will you follow me in that direction? Choice is ours. So let's ask the question, how do we determine our direction? How do you decide where you want to go? Well, you just make a plan. Make a plan. Pay attention. Evaluate that plan. Listen, I want you to know that we've compiled a whole list of resources for you. If you'll pull out your phone, you can go to your app. If you don't have the app, you can go to the back of your bulletin, scan the QR code, and get the app, because this is a direct link to all the stuff we have for you. Go to your app, go to media, go to sermon series, and then hit marriage. Right at the very bottom there, there's a whole list of resources, marriage resources. I want you to know there's books, there's videos, there's pamphlets like this. We have these for free in the back, praying for my spouse. There's all kinds of stuff here. I want you to know there's a couple of books at the bottom that are not conventional marriage material. One of them is Wild at Heart, and the other is Captivating. You know why I'm recommending those? Sermon number one said we are different. Most of the time we say, hey guys, read Wild at Heart, get permission to be a man. Hey ladies, read Captivating, get permission to be feminine and be beautiful. But what if a man read Captivating so he could better understand his wife? What if a woman read Wild at Heart so she could better understand her man? And then we could not be fighting against each other, we could be supporting each other in our God-given roles in this life. Come on, there's a lot of vying for position in marriage, isn't there? Who's going to be on top? There's no on top. Jesus is on top, and you're linked together. You're equal in his sight. Man has a function. Woman has a function. How are we going to set a direction, church? Well, I'm telling you, there's resources everywhere on the app. There's a one-day marriage conference over here at Stonebridge, our partner church, coming up June the 1st. There's Right Now Media on the back of the card you got in your bulletin. If you want to study marriage, if you want to receive revelation and truth, there's hundreds, literally, of marriage resources right there on that free app that we got for you as a church. There's fall groups. Marriage groups will be offered here in the fall. There's a pastoral staff who would love to meet with you and help you with your marriage relationship. We can recommend professional counseling. We've got pamphlets to help you pray. We've got daily questions to walk out the door with. Here's what I want to tell you. There's not a lack of resources for you to do what you need to do to get on the path. The question isn't whether the resources are available. The question is, what will you do with the resources that are available? That's a hard question, isn't it? Because we want it now. We see a marriage of somebody who we look at and go, I want to be like them. They look like they like each other. Whoa, what a thing. I mean, how many marriages do you know that started out great, and then the kids come, it's even greater. And by the time the last kid leaves the house, they're strangers in their own bedroom. If that's not where you want to wind up, you need to get on a path. Hopefully by the end of this message today, we will help you get on a path. So, we each must hold our own selves accountable to stay on the path. You have to make a choice. Here's the myth about accountability. I'm going to find me an accountability partner, and they're going to make me do the right thing. You know what you just signed up for? A parent. What adult wants another parent in their life? I don't, you don't either. Accountability is not someone telling me what to do. It's me being responsible to come to my accountability partner and give an account for what I've been doing with what I said I was going to do. So make a plan. Pay attention. Evaluate that plan. Men, you need to get in a group of men who are wanting to have a healthy marriage. You know one thing I respect so much about my wife? She's made a decision. She's not going to hang out with ladies who publicly criticize their husband. Thank God. Because I have so many faults that she could publicly, privately, text, Facebook. She could do it everywhere. She could tell. But you know what? She's decided, I'm going to hang out with people who want to respect their husband. See, we've got to make choices. If we're going to get on a path, if our marriage is going to be greater than self-fulfillment, if we're going to have a light into the dark world that we all say we want to have, then you're going to have to take responsibility. Get on a path, be accountable. Hold yourself accountable to a group of men or a group of ladies for you ladies. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about a tendency that we all have. We all have a tendency to drift. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. You know, this principle takes place with me every time I drive to Lubbock or Amarillo. I'm the kind of guy that if I'm in the car by myself, I'm great. I can see the lines, I can see the side, but if there's anyone on my phone or next to me and I'm talking to them, I tend to drift. Thank God for the rumble strips on the road, or I'd be in the ditch most days driving to Lubbock or Amarillo. See, we know how to evaluate things like that, right? We've put boundaries in place. We know how to stay on the path. With our car, we have a dashboard. When a light lights up, if you're paying attention, you take it into the shop and see what's wrong. In your physical health, responsible people get an annual physical. They go in, they say, how am I doing? They take your blood pressure, they make you run on a treadmill, and you find out you're out of shape. And you got to get on a path, and you got to start eating different food. We understand the need to evaluate. But when it comes to the most important things in our life, like our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, we tend to get on autopilot. We tend to just take our hands off the steering wheel and say, Jesus, take the wheel. And that's a really cool song, but that doesn't really work. Jesus is going to take your wheel by you making great choices to keep your hands on the wheel. Are you with me? So what are you doing to get on the path? What choices are you going to make today to make sure that tomorrow you have a healthy marriage? If we don't have evaluation tools, we tend to get in trouble. We just kind of tend to drift. Marriage. The reason your marriage gets into trouble is because you don't take time to evaluate it. But let's talk about what that means. Healthy evaluation equals evaluate yourself, not your spouse. Oh, man. I'm so good at pointing the finger. Only evaluate others if they request it. And then be gentle. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, not in-your-faceness, not harshness, not, I finally got the courage to tell you I don't like you doing this, so I'm going to wham into your world. You know, I had a good friend who said, I learned a lesson about asking my wife for input about our marriage. I'd say, hey, babe, can we go to the living room and just sit down on the couch and can you tell me one thing you think I need to change about our marriage? He said, after I would say that, I would sit down, babe, what's one thing I can change to be a better husband? And then I would grab a sock and go, oh, and stick it in my mouth. Because number one, she would not stick to one thing. And number two, as soon as she told me half a thing, I wanted to get up and defend myself. Hey, that's... Evaluate yourself, not your spouse. You can pray for your spouse. We talked about this last week in 1 Peter. It says, women, you could win your husband without a word. It said, husbands, your prayers could be unhindered if you learn to honor your wife as a co-heir in the kingdom of God. Evaluate your own self. So here's a question. What can I do to make this relationship better? Because without periodic evaluation, you cannot stay on the path. So what is the path? The path is easy in Ephesians 5, love and respect. There's a book written by Dr. Eggerman, Love and Respect. There's all kinds of marriage resources out there. They all say the same thing. Be nice to each other. They all say the same thing. Take time to show them that you care. They all say the same thing. Be responsible for your own actions. They all say the same thing. Get in a group of people who are trying to do what you're doing and set your direction and have constant evaluation. What are you going to do to make your marriage strong? Let's look at Ephesians 5, and we're about to close. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water of the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must also respect her husband. Now, there are thousands of things we could talk about in that passage of scripture. I would recommend to you, take that scripture, Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, and make it your devotion for the rest of the year. Read it every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to highlight things that you need to work on in your life every day. Ask him how you can apply this scripture and be the husband or be the wife that God has called you to be. But I want to focus on one particular thing that I think is applicable to everyone in the room today. Verse 26, but make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Here's what I think that passage, that little snippet of scripture is saying to us. When your spouse gets on your nerves, speak God's word over them. When people irritate you, speak God's word over them. When people frustrate you, speak God's life over them. Are you with me? He says, as Christ is going to wash the body with the word. You say, why is that so important? There are powerful characteristics and qualities in the word of God. And if you don't know the word, how are you going to speak the word? That's why we give you resources like this right here, praying for my spouse. There's 43 scriptures in here that you could take and you could apply them to prayer over your spouse. Do you know what the hardest thing for me to do when my wife, sweet as she is, makes me upset? See, there it is. She didn't make me upset. I chose to get upset, right? Because my response is my responsibility. But anyway, I want to blame her, and it's like my brain shuts down. I can't think of anything positive about her or anything else in the universe at that moment. Anybody identify with that? You don't have to raise your hand. That's why I need a resource like this. God, help me remember the 80, because right now the 20 looks like 1 million. God, help me. Guys, this stuff works. I say it out loud. I start saying, God, remind me of how awesome my wife is. Remind me of what a sweet, loving spirit she is, how she cares and serves. God, I want to speak your word over her. God, you've made her holy and righteous. My spouse is a citizen in the kingdom of God. My wife is an expression of Christ to the world. She has gifts and talents that are a blessing to the face of the earth. And you know what? It doesn't take but about 5 minutes of starting to say those things out loud. Guess what? Boom. I can see the 80 again, and the 20 starts to fade away. Thank God she practices that with me too. What if the thing you took away from today was this? When I am frustrated, I'm going to speak God's word. When I am irritated, I'm going to speak God's word. Did you know that that applies at work? That applies at school? That applies in the community? That applies at Walmart and the fast food restaurant? When I'm irritated, I'm going to speak God's word. Some of us need to get on a different path. Some of us are on the right path, but we need to make sure we stay on the path. Without periodic evaluation, you cannot stay on the path. Would you stand with me? Do you know the questions you ask most indicates to you what's most important to you? I like to tease my brother-in-law. When we finish breakfast, he says, what's for lunch? When we finish lunch, he says, what's for dinner? You know what's important to him? Food. What kind of questions do you ask your kids when they come home from school? Did you make an A on that test? Some of you don't even care about that. You say, was anybody mean to you today? And what do you ask? That tells you what matters most to you. And I want to challenge you to take this card that we put in your bulletin today. There's 7 great questions that you can ask your spouse. Sock in hand. How have I expressed love? How have I expressed respect to you this week? See, if we start asking the right questions, we're going to start valuing the right things. See, I happen to believe that everybody in this room and everyone who can hear my voice wants to have a great marriage. Wants to have a marriage that not only is self-fulfilling, but fulfills the purpose of God in this generation. That's a light of Christ to the world. I happen to believe every one of us want to do this. We just need to take the resources, put them in our hands and put them to work. Sometimes the next step is simply to refocus on what matters. These kind of questions like this will help you. This kind of pamphlet of prayer will help you. I want to challenge you today before you leave this room. Whether you're married or not, doesn't matter. What are you going to do with you before you walk out that door? Evaluate yourself. How can I be the person God has called me to be in my marriage, in my job, in my life? And then make a decision. I'm going to do this. Maybe your decision is just, I'm going to take these questions. I'm going to ask myself for 6 weeks because I don't have the courage to ask my spouse yet. That's okay. Maybe your decision is, I'm just going to begin to pray. I'm going to take this resource and I'm going to speak the word of God over my spouse twice a day. When I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, whatever your decision is, make a decision. Because Christ wants you to grow. He wants your life to be full of joy. We can't get to where we're supposed to go without making a choice today. So I want to encourage you, as we sing this song, just open your heart. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward right now. As we close out a series on marriage, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. As long as you're drawing breath, God wants to give you a better relationship with your spouse. And He wants to grow you in ways that you never imagined. And He has blessings for you that are beyond anything you could have ever dreamed up on your own. Now, how do I go from hearing that to stepping into it in my life? It's as simple as one choice. I'm going to take a step toward the right path. For some of you today, it's walking right up here, asking one of these people to reach out their hand and pray for you, because I believe this. There's not a greater resource within your reach right now than these people who are willing to invite the presence of the kingdom into your specific situation. So whatever you're going through, whether it has to do with marriage, whether it has to do with anything else, we want to pray with you today. Without periodic evaluation, we tend to drift. We cannot stay on the path. So evaluate yourself. Come into a moment while we sing this song and say, God, show me what my next step is, and I'm going to get focused on that, and I'm going to get happy with everything else. I'm just going to do one thing. Will you pray with me? God, although there's 1,000 things we could do right now, I believe you have one specific choice you want us all to make. For every individual, God, I believe it's different and unique. So Holy Spirit, we trust as we close out this time together that you are releasing your truth to everyone who can hear my voice. And you're allowing us to let go of the past, step into the present, so we can have an awesome future in the kingdom of God. Lord, release us from our burdens, heal our hurts and pains, and deliver us into the path that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to sing this song, and as soon as it's over, you're dismissed. But I want to invite you, don't leave too quick. Take a minute, think, evaluate, listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, and come and receive prayer before you leave today.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.